Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, August 29th. I'm Ray Graff. The NFL regular season is about to kick off while the Major League Baseball playoff picture is starting to take shape. Meanwhile, a team from Hawaii defeated a South Korean team to win the Little League World Series this past weekend after an impressive run by a group from Pittsfield. Fell just short in that tournament. Odell Beckham is a very rich man today. All of those sports headlines are on the table as we talk sports today with Brittany Devane of CBS 6 in Albany and the Berkshire Eagles' Howard Herman. We want to hear from you if you want to talk sports. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, 800-348-2551, sports, and you coming up. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The NFL regular season is about to get underway. We have the Major League Baseball season heading toward the playoffs. Here to discuss sports, the college season about to kick off as well. Here to discuss all that and much more are Brittany Devane of CBS 6 in Albany and the Berkshire Eagles' Howard Herman. Brittany joined CBS 6 in August of 2015 after 3 years as a sports reporter and anchor in Bangor, Maine. Howard Herman is a longtime sports reporter and columnist for the Berkshire Eagle based in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. If you want to talk about any sports at all, even curling, although I don't recommend it, frankly, 800-348-2551 is the number, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number, jot it down, 800-348-2551. Brittany and Howard, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
All right, let's turn those mics on. Let's try it again. Brittany and Howard, welcome to the show.
Now, say thanks
hello,
for having
hello.
Us.
Hello,
hello. Everything's working now. Brittany, we watch you on TV. We watch the half-hour program in the evenings. And you have some news about that, huh?
The half-hour program, we have our final show coming up on Friday.
Well, what the heck?
You know, it was a good run. Without the Sports Edge, I wouldn't be here. I was hired as the fourth person to come on and make that show happen starting in 2015. It was a great run. The news department has elected to make the 10 o'clock an hour of news. And so I will still be kind of prominent in that half an hour, that last half an hour. We're going to have an extended sports block. So sports isn't going away. We're still going to have an increased presence. It's just not the full half an hour.
Will you
anymore.
Get twice as much time now to do your sports report?
We're going to have 7.5 minutes. Which,
that's a lot for
that
sports.
That is a lot of time in TV land. So I'm excited. I think we're going to have some really high-quality productions coming up.
Excellent. And Howard Herman, we talked baseball for a good half hour before the show. And, you know, you're in Massachusetts, and you cover the Sox, and you cover all the stuff going on there. And big year for the Sox, huh?
Boy, they are playing pretty – I don't want to say they're playing great baseball right now, because right now they're not playing particularly well.
Yeah.
They were fortunate to escape last night with the win against the really god-awful Miami Marlins. but I think the injury to Chris Sale, and I don't know how long he's going to be out, but he's on the DL right now. And I think that just really impacts them psychologically as much as anything else, because they have not been the same since he went on the disabled list.
He was having a tremendous year this year.
Stat of the year, though, back about a week and 10 days ago, he was leading the majors in strikeouts, as was Chicago White Sox infielder Yoan Moncada. He had struck out the most of anybody, and they were traded for each other.
Interesting. I know, Brittany, you're a pretty hardcore Massachusetts sports fan, so you got to be pretty happy about all this.
I am born and raised in Massachusetts, so I can't help it. It's in my blood, and I get a lot of feedback here that there are some Patriots and Red Sox fans here in the Capital Region and in this area that we cover.
Yeah.
So I have some kindred spirits here. It's been a fun year.
Well, I hate to break the news to both of you, but the big collapse is coming. The Yankees are, you don't remember 1978 all that well, do you?
I was negative 20-something years
old. I was in, I would have been about 13, maybe. Let me tell you something. That was an epic collapse and an epic comeback for the Yankees. And it's written in the stars that it's happening again this year.
I don't don't know about that. The Yankees have been playing some sloppy baseball.
They didn't play. Yeah, they won yesterday, but they lost the day before. Mm-hmm. And much
they won,
like the
they won 8 out of 9, while the Sox lost 2 series in a row.
Yeah, but much like the Marlins, the Chicago White Sox are another god-awful baseball team, which is a problem for baseball writ large. But that we can talk about that later. But it's going to be closer. I mean, I can remember I was in the Boston papers and the Boston media when it was 12-something games that it's over. It's, you know, start buying your tickets. And I say, wait a second. It's early August. It's not even September 1st yet. Don't say that. It is far from over.
As a Mets fan, I can tell you the collapses are entirely possible.
And let's not even discuss collapse. Let's just say, you know, J.D. Martinez twists his knee rounding second, and now he's out. And then, you know, for example, and there you are, and they're in trouble. Those are things you don't, you know, collapses are one thing, but a guy gets hurt and everything goes bluey.
And there's still 2 series left between the 2 teams, Yankees and Red Sox.
And that's the key right there. If the Yankees make hay, the first series will tell the tale. If the Yankees tank, then we're done, I would think. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Football about to begin, and OBJ just got paid a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that video of him dancing in the locker room celebrating?
I did not know.
Oh, he is just going all out. He's dancing in the locker room, celebrating with his teammates, and somebody's in the background saying, money, 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 and I loved it. If you were to make $95 million in a day, I'd be celebrating like that too. I loved seeing somebody so excited about their success instead of just, you know, oh, okay, that, you know, that's nice.
He's really good. He's really good. If he stays healthy, it should make all the difference for the Giants.
It should make a lot of difference, but he needs his quarterback to be good. And Manning was not good last year. He was okay.
I've heard this a lot, and it irritates me as a Giants fan. And let me tell you why. And our number is 800-348-2551. What does Eli do as well as anybody, as well as any quarterback in the league? Hasn't done it for a while. It's the play action. He has not had a running game for 2 or 3 years now where you can effectively play action. In other words, fake the handoff to the running back, throw to your tight end, or throw to your slot receiver. He has not had that. That is what he does best. Now, presumably, with Saquon Barkley, Eli Manning will have just that.
He still needs an offensive line to be able to open those holes. And I know they signed Nate Solder from the Patriots in the offseason, but that offensive line is the weakest link in the Giants, as I see it. And unless that offensive line can open holes, you see it in New England when the Patriots haven't had some great years, when they made the playoffs but haven't gotten the Super Bowl. They have no running game, they don't have a play-action game, and Brady's been on his butt a lot. That last year he wasn't on his butt hardly at all because the offensive line protected him, and that's what you need. And I think if their offensive line comes through, everything else follows.
I think the hole is closing on the Giants. Because you did just pay OBJ so much money, that means there's not going to be money to spend elsewhere. You have, you know, Barkley on the rookie deal right now. You're not going to be able to pay him maybe a couple years down the road. I think that they didn't go with the quarterback in the draft, so you just have Eli. That's it right now.
But a couple years down the road, when it's time to pay Saquon Barkley, assuming he stays healthy, and a running back, what is their average life expectancy in the NFL?
That's what I'm saying, the hole is closed.
But if Saquon Barkley is still top of his game in 2 years, Eli is going to be gone. This is it. This is Eli's last rodeo, the last couple of years on his contract, and he'll be off the books, don't you think?
Maybe I should amend my statement that with Eli Manning, the hole
is closing. Yeah, I agree with you.
And that is why, and I always say this, that the New England Patriots were the luckiest football team ever, in the sense that Tom Brady was a sixth-round draft pick, and they didn't have to pay him for like 6 or 7 years because he was a sixth-round draft pick, so they could put their money elsewhere. That's why the Patriots became the dominant team that they are.
We are joined today by Brittany Devane of CBS 6 and Howard Herman of the Berkshire Eagle. We talk sports at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551 if you want to join in. Well, you mentioned Brady, and since I know we have at least one Patriot fan in the house, how much does he have left in the tank? He's old.
by football standards. He is an old man. He's going to walk straight off the field and into a nursing home after.
Wait a minute.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But it irritates me every time somebody asks him the question, because you can see him getting irritated. And as a fan, I'm like, chill out. Just let him play until he's done. I don't think personally he's going to do a retirement tour. I think when he's done, he'll be done. If they win this year, I think he's done.
Really?
Yes.
He'll step away.
I don't know if I completely agree, but I could see that happening, because it's what Jerome Bettis did a few years ago. You know, he won his Super Bowl and said, so long, see ya. Brady's still got stuff left in him. As long as Gronkowski's there to catch touchdown passes, Tom Brady is, all athletes are on a bell curve. Tom Brady is on the back end of his bell curve. You can't argue that. But his bell curve is still a lot higher than most quarterbacks. And
how old
he's
is
still
he?
Good.
41?
41.
Okay. At some point, and I've been watching football since the early 70s, these guys hit a brick wall and it's over.
He's been very lucky. Even his injuries haven't been arm shoulder injuries. He's blew out his knee, was gone for most of the year. You know, he had a little bit of a back issue, but most of it's leg stuff, which is A, easier to repair than most, and B, doesn't affect your throwing as much. So he's been pretty fortunate.
All right, let's take a break. I take exception to that because you need your legs to throw. And we'll get back to this, and we're going to take some calls as well. Brittany Devane is here. Howard Herman is here. The number is 800-348-2551. Sports Today. We'll be back. Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Howard Herman of the Berkshire Eagle and Brittany Devane of CBS 6. And we'll get to the phones in a moment. This one came in via email at voxpop@wamc.org. Charles in Oneonta writes, love the sports show. Actual intelligent talk without the yelling. I think there's
Should we high five for that?
Yeah.
Boom. High five.
And we can start yelling if we need to.
And we can be less than intelligent. Believe me, I've hosted the show a long time. Best football games, according to Charles, were the Ravens-Steelers games when Ray Lewis played and both teams were competitive, so intense and hard-hitting. Please mention the hardest trophy to win, Stanley Cup, and the most underrated achievement of the four big sports, New York Islanders, four cups in a row, even though Canadians won five straight, they did in way less games played. Used to watch the Superstar Show on ABC TV in the 70s. Winning often were those NHL players that nobody knew, including myself back then. That's from Charles in Oneonta.
I love hockey. It's right up there with football as my favorite sport. I used to intern for the Boston Bruins, of course, the year after they won the Cup. So that was disappointing.
Now, what did you do as an intern for the Boston Bruins?
I ran up and down those stairs at the TD Garden faster than your little legs could move.
That's a great thing to put on the old resume, huh? That's cool.
It was a lot of fun. Got to work on the pregame show, postgame show, all those sorts of things. The Stanley Cup is special.
Outstanding.
I was there. It wasn't that year. It was I think the year before or the year after when Washington beat them in Game 7 in overtime. And I will never, ever forget. It was one of the most surreal moments. The Garden is rocking. And then all of a sudden, the guy from Washington scores the goal in overtime. And it's like you push the mute button. I have never heard a building go from raucous to quiet as quickly as that.
As a New York fan, I love it when that happens in Boston. I love it.
But hockey talk in, late August? I love it.
Yeah, and they haven't even gone to camp yet.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We go over to Matt in Saratoga. Matt, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I just, curiosity, want to know what your guests think about this Urban Meyer saga, because hasn't the latest report come out that he actually scrubbed his phone before he turned it over? So I want to know if they think any more text or emails or anything like that's going to come out. And if they do, does it really matter? Is just Ohio State so committed to winning, they really don't care who they have at the helm? I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, Matt, thanks a lot. I'll tell you what, Brittany and Howard, why don't you give us the Cliff Notes version of the Urban Meyer situation?
The Cliff Notes version, as I understand it, is assistant coach Zach Smith had been involved in an alleged domestic violence situation with his now former wife. Apparently, somebody knew something and told something to somebody else. And Zach Smith is the grandson of Earl Bruce, who's a legendary Ohio State football coach. And it's what Urban Meyer did and didn't know and said and didn't say and who he talked to. And Zach Smith has been fired. Now Meyer's in the hot seat because of things that he may have known but didn't tell his superiors about.
Hmm. And so I have not heard this bit about Urban Meyer scrubbing his phone or the allegations.
They've tried to get rid of the text messages. So from what other reporters who are doing all the legwork on it have reported. And there's a lot of there. I just don't know how far it's going to go. He's been suspended for the first,
three games.
But in the third game, he can coach them in practice and can't coach them in the game. I don't understand it. I think were this Syracuse, at Boston College, I'm using just as examples. I'm not saying anything ever has gone wrong there. The coach would be out.
Yeah. But here you have a legendary coach, and so our caller's point.
A legendary coach, a legendary program.
Yeah.
I think it was a slap on the wrist, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon, especially when the games actually get started, and you've already seen the Ohio State fans are riled up and angry at everybody.
The media and everybody else.
Everybody. Yeah. And I think that their response has then gotten under the skin of people protesting the decision. Yeah. So I think we have absolutely not seen the last of it yet. And I think that Ohio State and other big programs like that will see the response that that the Ohio State decision got and maybe come down a little bit harder if anything like this was to happen in the future.
Do you think?
Or at least I would hope so.
Do you think that it will trickle down to the play of the team? Do these outside events, I often wonder about this. You look at those 70s Yankees teams or so many other teams that are controversy constantly swirling. Does it actually affect the play on the field?
I think it may in this case because we're not talking about professional athletes who are
pretty close.
I was going to. Yeah.
No. But we're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. We're not talking about grown men who are doing this for a living. And are in a different circumstance. We're talking about teenagers,
yeah.
And I think it might impact them in a little bit of a different way than say certainly all of the Tom Brady
Deflategate
contretemps over Guerrero didn't affect the Patriots last year.
Hmm.
I don't think, and I think that's like the most over it as far as its impact.
Okay,
it doesn't impact what goes on in the locker room, as far as professionals are concerned. With college kids, it's different because Urban Meyer's not there. They have a different guy coaching them. It's a different voice, and who knows how it all plays out with teenagers.
They're professionals. I'm sorry, you're in a big program. You're a professional.
If there's any football program that's professional, it's going to be your Alabama, your Ohio State. So it is as close to pro as possible. So that's why when you initially asked the question, my instinct was to say, I'm not sure, because it is as close to pro as you're going to get at the amateur level.
I mean, look at big-time college basketball and
some of the
things that went on and some of the controversies. I mean, we watch all the University of Arizona games, and there was the controversy with their coach. I'll tell you what, some of these guys, they're professional athletes. By the time you hit big-time college sports, whether you're getting a paycheck or not, I think it's a different world than the Division III average player who's very good.
It's even different. It's an even different world than the Division I you see around here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You make a point.
But it's interesting when you bring all of that up. We're trying, sometimes I feel like we're trying to kill, something, a fly, with a missile. Because the amount of schools that are at that high level are so small compared to the number of Division I athletes in football, in basketball, in all of those sports. There are very few Dukes and Kentuckys, playing basketball other than Duke and Kentucky.
Yeah. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Sports Today on Vox Pop. Howard Herman of the Berkshire Eagle and Brittany Devane of CBS 6. Let's go over to Mike in Saratoga Springs. Mike, you're on.
Hey, I have a football question, but before I ask it, I just want to make sure I heard Ray right. Ray, are you both a fan of the Mets and the Yankees?
I'm a Mets fan, born and raised. My father was a Brooklyn Dodger fan, and then when the Dodgers left town, he was without a team until the Mets showed up. And so I grew up a Mets fan. I am a Mets fan. However, when the Mets are out of it, which is most years, I will, and I'm one of the rare Mets fans, but I will. I'll root for the Yankees. I'm down with that.
Yeah, I was going to say it's almost a travesty.
No, it's not, man. Yeah, okay.
All right, but I just wanted to ask the expert out of this, you know, kind of talked about freshman class of quarterbacks that came out of the draft. Who do you think is going to be the breakout star, if anyone?
I think it's going to be Baker Mayfield.
Really?
Yes, I do. I have been impressed with the way he's carried himself in the preseason. I think he has learned a lot of what not to do by looking at some of the other failed examples of first-year rookie quarterbacks. I also think that Tyrod, whatever we're calling him these days, Taylor is going to be able to set a good example and hold down the fort, maybe give Baker a couple weeks, half a season to develop on the sidelines in practice. I think Baker's going to get a shot this year, and I think we're going to see good things.
You don't think
him.
He'll start the season?
I don't. I don't think he should.
The Jets have a quarterback who will start the season, probably. Even though I think
it should be Teddy.
I think it should be Teddy Bridgewater as well.
The guy who I think is going to make the best impact right off the bat is going to be Josh Rosen in Arizona, because Josh Rosen in Arizona has the best team.
Well, you make a point.
Baker Mayfield will be a great quarterback in the NFL when he leaves Cleveland. That's a cursed franchise.
He looks very poised.
It's a cursed franchise. He has no chance to win in Cleveland because they are the Cleveland Browns. And when you think about it, the best general manager the Cleveland Browns have ever had is Kevin Costner.
Mike, do you want to follow up? You're very noisy signal, so we turned you down. Do you want to follow up with a question?
No, I'm a Steelers fan, so hopefully you're wrong about Baker Mayfield.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551. I was not entirely impressed. I had to watch the replay of the Giants-Jets game at 11:30.
All right.
I was not entirely impressed with the Jets' soon-to-be-anointed starting quarterback. He's all right. He's a kid.
I think he needs time to develop. I totally agree with you. He had, a pretty okay showing week one, but I think he needs more time. I think they would be doing him a grave disservice if they threw him right to the fire.
It's funny. The last caller mentioned that he's a Steeler fan. The luckiest quarterback in the Eli Manning years was Ben Roethlisberger, and here's why. The Steelers were horrible the year they drafted him, but they were a good team. So he got to go to a good team. He was in the Super Bowl in his second year.
Right, and didn't do much.
Did enough, and they won. And right. He's got two rings, and he's been a Hall of Fame quarterback. But when you are drafted into a better team, you are more likely to be successful, which is why I like Josh Rosen in Arizona, because that's a pretty good football team that he got to go into, whereas the Jets are terrible. The Browns are worse than that, and the Bills are the Bills.
Well, let's just change the perspective. Let's take it as a given that the Jets are terrible, and I'm not sure they're terrible, but let's just take your word as written here that they're terrible. What's the harm, assuming the kid doesn't get hurt, of putting the kid out there and having him start?
David Carr. You might remember David Carr.
I remember David Carr.
David Carr, first player chosen in the draft by the Houston Texans, by the expansion team. He started his rookie year. He was pretty much out of the league in 2 years because he was beaten up. They had nobody he could throw to. Had a terrible offensive line, and he was running for his life on every snap. That's why, if you're on a team that really has no talent, it's really hard to start a rookie quarterback.
I agree with that. I think if you look at the list of pros and cons, the cons of starting a rookie quarterback, especially when you have a very reliable backup in Josh McCown and what he's been able to do with that team, he's a solid backup. And Teddy Bridgewater, who's never really gotten a chance.
He looks great so far.
He does. So he has never gotten a shot. He's going to be motivated. And he has more experience. Even though he's had the horrific injury, he still has had more practice reps and a little bit more preparation for this job. Let him start the season. He's ready. And like I was speaking about with Baker, get Sam Darnold just some time.
Okay, Baker Mayfield, same situation from a management standpoint, a general manager standpoint, I would think, as the Jets. The fans are clamoring for him to be there on day one. The team not likely to go very far. I think you can say that for both the Jets, just because of the division they're in, and the Browns. So if I'm management, I'm saying, well, he's showing me enough. Get him out there under center in game one.
If I'm John Dorsey of the Cleveland Browns, the general manager, I resist that because it's about your future. Mm-hmm. Mike McCagan, the Jets general manager, has a different problem. He's got another team to contend with in the Giants. He has to win the back pages of the New York City tabloids. The Cleveland Browns don't have to worry about that. So I think Cleveland is much less apt to throw the guy into the deep end of the pool without him learning how to swim first.
The one guy I would say, I agree with you, don't throw him out there on opening day, is the poor kid who has to play for the Bills. Did you see the preseason game this past weekend? The offensive line is so dangerously bad, he looked terrible.
And I like Josh Allen coming out of college, mm-hmm. But he played at Wyoming. And the level of play, compared to the other top quarterbacks in the draft, Baker Mayfield's at Oklahoma, Rosen's UCLA, Darnold's USC, they're playing against NFL teams every week. They're not playing against NFL teams out in Wyoming. So, he is one of those guys who could really use a bit of an internship behind a veteran quarterback.
Sure, he's got some unbelievable raw talent there. So, again, why rush him out there, especially when it's charting into dangerous territory with that O-line? Yeah, the guy needs some time to throw.
Our guest today, Brittany Devane of CBS 6 and Howard Herman of the Berkshire Eagle at Sports Today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Emil in Amsterdam, you're on.
Yeah, I'd like to know how the NFL is going to play their players or pay their players when all those good old boys are boycotting the hell out of them. I used to be a Philadelphia fan until they disrespected my president, your president. I don't care if you like him or not. You don't disrespect them. So I burnt all my Philadelphia stuff.
Okay, so who wants first on that?
I'll start with that. I think players, they're not disrespect. They say they're not disrespecting the flag. You have to take them at their word. However, with all of this controversy about showing it or not showing it on television, Ray and I are a little older. I can remember growing up, you never saw the national anthem on television. They only started doing that at the Super Bowls because the late Whitney Houston would sing it or the late Aretha Franklin would sing it. It became part of the show.
Okay, but let's get to Emil's question. Is this going to affect the bottom line in a drastic sense for the NFL, Brittany?
No.
I agree. I completely
agree. NFL is not running out of money.
Emil, go ahead.
I'm in my 60s, and I don't care if you like it or not. You don't disrespect the national anthem. You don't disrespect our president. And if these guys are so well wanting to take a knee or a knee, why aren't they taking a knee when it's off season? Why is it only when they can be seen and notarized? Why ain't they doing it any other time? They don't care. Look at them all that beat their wives. Look at them all there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Emil. We appreciate it very much. Well, I do think that politics, I've been thinking about this, had the president not made it about him at one point and goaded the players, most of the players, this probably would have just, some guys would do it. It wouldn't be a big deal. But because the president was very strident in what he said about Colin Kaepernick and some of the others who were doing this, the players said, well, you know what? You can't talk to us that way.
But the thing is, Ray, you're talking about, again, it's like when we were talking about the college basketball players using a rocket to kill a fly. You're talking three or four guys a game might kneel.
Right.
We're not talking about having the entire team not kneel. Whatever you think, whether you agree with them, and I happen to agree with them, or not.
You are really kind of, it's kind of a free country. That's sort of why it's a pretty great country. Actually do that and not be in trouble.
And there is a meme circulating, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it was a picture of Tim Tebow kneeling for the national anthem, supposedly.
Well, and he kneels a lot, so
but,
I'm not
yeah,
sure.
But it depends on what you're kneeling for.
Yeah.
I just want to point out the last comment was made about they all beat their wives. They don't all beat their wives. I just want to put a little.
Well, that was when Emil had to go. Sure. And that happens, and we appreciate everyone's call. They can, you know, if you can use some good taste, it would be helpful. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Sports Today with Brittany Devane and Howard Herman on You coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's the sports edition, which we do every, I don't know, 4 or 6 months. Brittany Devane of CBS 6 is here, and Howard Herman of the Berkshire Eagle. One of the nice things about doing the sports show here in Studio A once in a while is I get to have the game on, and the Mets are up 4-0 at the moment. So this is very exciting and probably not very long-lived, but, you know.
That's a lot of run support.
It's more runs than the Mets usually score in a 3 or 4 games.
Yeah,
it is, and it's a guy for the Cubs that I don't recognize.
Pitching?
Yeah.
I can't see. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Alan in North Adams. Alan.
Hi, Ray. How are you today?
Good. Can you turn the radio down just a little bit, buddy?
Oh, yep.
Okay.
There, how's that?
Good. You're good to go.
All right. My question is, you know, even though you're a bunch of New Yorkers and you were just talking about the Mets.
Oh, we got two Massachusetts people in here. I'm the only New Yorker in there. Go ahead.
Well, there you go. But I was just, you know, switching into baseball and kind of wondering what you think of are the Red Sox going to go all the way this year? Who do you think the best contender against them would be, you know, not only in the American League, but if they did go to the World Series, the National League as well?
Toughest team in the American League to me is Cleveland or the Red Sox. I think they've been playing the best other than the Red Sox. My concern with the Red Sox is always – you know, that what they're doing is over 162 games. And I will never forget, arguably the greatest team of the last 30 years, the Atlanta Braves of the 90s. They had 3 Cy Young Award winning pitchers, and they won 1 world championship.
Right.
So, you know, the Red Sox may be able to have the best record through 162 games. But then once the playoffs start, things change. I think they're still the team to beat in the American League, but that doesn't mean they're going to win.
I agree with you. I think we need Mookie Betts to get back to whatever he was doing in the first half of the season. He's scaring me a little bit right now. Also, the Oakland Athletics, I think, are a little bit scary. They've been kind of coming on hot. I'd like to try to forget the Chaminea no-hitter thrown against the Red Sox earlier this season. That freaked me out at the beginning of the year. So they're a little bit scary. I don't think I would like to play them. But
in the National League, the team that I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but if they do, I would be afraid, and that's the Cardinals. They always seem to just, you know, first half of the season, down for dead. I looked yesterday, they are definitely not dead, and they just keep that team. It's frightening, that team.
The Cardinals and the Cubs are the two teams in the National League that I would worry the most about. The teams in the East, the Phillies and the Nationals and the Braves, to a certain extent, have started to fade.
Well, the Nationals are, I think, out.
As we all knew they would, and I have not been sold on the Dodgers for a couple of years, even though they've played well. So I think, you know, it's the American League should be favored in any World Series.
Okay. Hey, Alan, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551, the telephone number, 800-348-2551. By the way, did you say, Brittany, that Aaron Rodgers just made some money too?
Aaron Rodgers just got paid. Let me pull up the numbers again here. Aaron Rodgers was signed to a record-breaking deal. This is according to ESPN. 4 years, $134 million extension. He's making nearly $103 million in guaranteed money.
That's
just saw
a lot of
OBJ
money.
Make $65 million in guaranteed money. Aaron Rodgers just became a very rich man.
Because most of these guys don't make all the money they sign for. Because most of these contracts are not completely guaranteed. And they end up making deals and getting out of them.
Now, Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys who sat on the bench with a clipboard behind Brett Favre. And so Aaron Rodgers, not a spring chicken now. The back end of that contract may be a problem for management on that team.
It will not be a problem for management. They're very happy to have him locked up forever because he will retire. He will now retire as a Packer.
He does have a little problem staying on the field.
But he will retire as a Packer. He is probably the greatest quarterback in Packer history. Second, you know, and the distance between him and Bart Starr is growing exponentially as the top two quarterbacks in the history of that franchise. And it and the money's great. He's great. It's funny because we talk about this a lot, and I don't play fantasy football.
Yeah,
but
good
we,
for you.
But we have guys. Akeem Glassby, one of my colleagues at the Eagle, writes a fantasy football column, and I think and Aaron Rodgers is the greatest fantasy football quarterback in the NFL. Nobody comes close. But if I need a quarterback, I'm taking Tom Brady, because all he does is win games. Mm. Tom Brady is not doesn't rack up fantasy points, and I think there are too many football fans out there who care more about their fantasy teams than care about their own teams.
What do you think, Brittany?
I think that fantasy does, in fact, skew how you watch the actual football games that are unfolding in front of you, and you look more at the fantasy numbers than the actual stats.
Yes.
I think you're exactly right on that.
Okay, you have Aaron Rodgers on your fantasy team, and they're playing the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you pulling for?
That's why I don't play fantasy, because
I
can't cheer against my own.
I haven't for years, and somebody sucked me back into it this year. So the draft is coming up Friday, and it's already giving me... you know, as a Giants fan, all I want to do is root for the Giants, but now I have to worry about everybody else, and it's already making me tense. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Matt in Scotia. Matt, you're on.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Sorry to go back to the NFL kneeling thing, but I always had one question on it, that the players that are kneeling are actually at work,
yeah,
technically, and most people can't protest while they're at work. They'd get fired. So I don't understand really the controversy over people at work protesting. That I just think they shouldn't do it.
Okay, man.
And whatever they do on their own time, they can do on their own time.
Well, there's that argument out there as well, and you're not the first one to say that. Anybody want to comment?
It makes sense. There's a certain logic, but it is also they are on a stage, and it's an opportunity for them to make a statement to the population writ large.
All right, let's go to Lena in Maybrook. You're on.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I was wondering if you could give me some input with, you know, Aaron Judge's injury.
Yeah.
It seems like it's such a vague problem, and they're not giving much information. You know, they said 3 weeks, which I knew it wasn't going to be, but... he's not wearing a cast. He's not, you know, obviously he's not swinging a bat yet. It just sounds a little cloudy to me as to what's going on.
I agree. Now, Boone the other day said he fully expects him to be 100% soon. I don't know what soon means, but Brittany, what have you heard?
It feels like it is taking forever just because Aaron Judge means so much to this lineup. He's such an important piece. I think the last thing they want to do is rush him back and risk a long-term injury or something with his swing that it doesn't fully return to what it was before. So they are getting Gary Sanchez back soon. They're getting Didi Gregorius back soon. They're getting more people back. And I think that just they're not going to miss the playoffs. They're going to get into the playoffs. They might have to play that one game wild card. So to have Aaron Judge ready for the playoffs is the most important thing.
All right. Thanks for the call. By the way, I hate the one game playoff.
It's dumb.
I agree. I mean, it killed the Mets 2 years ago. You got to go against usually an ace pitcher. It's one game. Give me at least 3 games. Don't give me one flip of the coin. One bad hop and you're out.
It's good and it's bad. The drama of the one game playoff is off the charts.
Well, it was great in '78.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, yeah. Well, your guys won. You wouldn't.
Well, the
you wouldn't
Yankees
be say,
won.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't.
Oh,
well,
Yankees
wouldn't
win.
Be saying that if you were a Yankee fan and the Red Sox won. But I kind of wish it would be best of three. Having said that, we're already pushing the World Series into November.
Who cares? Right?
It's cold. And I have
It's cold.
And I know these are first world problems and nobody really cares because I get paid to go watch games.
Yeah.
But in 2013, the last time the Red Sox made the World Series, the auxiliary press box, they can't fit everybody who covers the World Series in the press box. And I don't know if you've been to playoffs and all that.
Yeah.
The auxiliary press box at Fenway Park is out in the right field stands. So you're outdoors.
Oh, boy.
You know, trying to write.
Oh, boo-hoo.
And, exactly. But then you're talking, or the one that killed me was last winter. I was credentialed to go to the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. And
it's
that was
Yale and
Last year it was BC and Iowa.
Okay,
but it was during that part in late December, right around Christmas, when it was like 10 below every day. And the Yankee Stadium press box, I've been told, is open.
Okay.
So I didn't go. Because I'm not sitting in minus 10 degree weather.
You know what? These are baseball players. I've been to so many Little League games where it's been 35 degrees and everybody's fine. The kids are fine. The parents are fine. The fans are fine. These are major leaguers making millions of dollars.
But you're talking about people spending thousands of dollars on tickets, and you want to make sure your seats are filled.
Herman?
For the record, I would like a three-game wild card as well, too.
Okay, well, that's good. So we're on the same page there. Our number is 800-348-2551. Robert in Albany. Robert, you're on.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a question about the Cowboys. Real quick, I just want to touch on the kneeling situation there. All right, for all those I don't understand. All right, I got a family that's in the military, and I am an African American descendant, and they're not kneeling disrespecting the flag. All right, it's not due to disrespect the flag. It's due to bring notice to what's going on. Like those two other older gentlemen that seem to be a little ignorant, doesn't understand what's going on. It's to bring attention to people like you that don't want to see that, don't want to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, man.
Real quick. And second of all, how do you think the Cowboys are going to do this year?
Giants are going to kick their butt. Giants are going to be all over them. No, I don't know. Let's ask the experts.
I don't know what the Cowboys are doing. Their skill position, they let Dez Bryant go, who was the only skill position guy on that team who could do anything. I have not been a big fan of the Cowboys defense for several years. And I just think that, I look at that division, they might still be second best in that division because the Giants are rebuilding and the Redskins are the NFC's answer to the Browns. So I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I don't see them as a playoff team at all.
What do you think, Brittany?
Zingers. That's what I think. Robert, thank you. You're very eloquent. Don't come for my job, please, because you have a good radio voice.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to be in that race for second place in the division. Dak is looking scary.
But you know what? The offensive line is the key, and they have the kid who has the autoimmune issue on the – and I haven't heard if he's going to go on IR. I think they're going to find out this week. But if the Dallas offensive line holds, they're always going to be a threat. So
exactly what we're counting on. We got Ezekiel Elliott back there.
Yeah.
So I think he can do it. Dez hasn't been doing too much anyways over the last few years, so – not too sure if we're really going to move them that much.
I got a feeling he's going to be back, Robert. He hasn't signed with anybody yet. I'll bet you he comes back.
We'll bank him if he wants to come back.
All right, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Marcia. Marcia in Austerlitz. You're on.
Yeah, thank you. I love that Marcia.
Yeah, I bet you never heard that before, huh?
No, I've never heard that. I've heard one even worse.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. One, I've been in New York since 1962.
Yeah.
I have had the privilege of attending the 69 World Series game.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a cool one.
Which game did you go to in 69?
It was the second, it was when they came back. I don't remember. Come on, I'm 73. I can't remember exactly.
That's all right. You were lucky to be there, though.
Yeah, I was in the nosebleed section.
But
that's not why I called.
Okay.
The national anthem. This gentleman was complaining about the players kneeling. One, I think they have every right to. It's the way to express yourself. Two, this guy should think of it the way I do. Did you know that the tune to the national anthem is actually an old British drinking song?
Yes. Which is pretty funny because a lot of people in the NFL games are drinking by that time. So, yeah, you make a point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And my last thing is the Jets and the Giants are not New York teams.
Oh, Marcia, you're killing me.
I root for the Patriots.
Bah!
Yeah, Marcia.
If you go down to the Meadowlands, what do you see? when to your left as
you're Jimmy Hoffa's grave.
I see. Wow. I see the Vince Lombardi rest area.
All right. Well, you know, you can see downtown. It's right. It's closer than this station is from Colony Center. It's right there.
I love it. Marsha was feisty.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear her crack about Jimmy Hoffa's grave? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you missed that one. All right, let's go quickly over to Jim in Albany. Jim.
Hey, Ray, thanks for the good news about the Mets. 4 runs. Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that nice? We'll keep you posted.
Oh, it is. Hey, one gentleman called in and said the players have no rights because they're working for the owners. Does he believe that the owners are the only ones who have the rights in this country? The workers have no rights at all? That is, I believe, quote, well, never mind what it's called in the books, but that's really not American. We believe in equal rights for the owners and the players, and they're negotiating it, aren't they, Ray?
The players and owners, they're always negotiating, right?
Yeah, sure. So the players have a right. What is this guy talking about? Where does he get that idea that you can't negotiate?
All right.
Well, I also think that there's been talk that goes way beyond just the idea of kneeling. You know, they're trying to talk about having programs to help with some of what the players are trying, you know, are protesting against. And I think, you know, it's the only place they would have the opportunity to do this, because if they do it on their own time, people are not going to see it.
All right, I got to stop you there. We have some breaking news. Quarterback Teddy Bridgewater traded today from the Jets to the New Orleans Saints, according to multiple reports.
You're kidding.
Both ESPN's Adam Schefter and NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reported the trade. Schefter said the trade is expected to involve draft picks. Teddy Bridgewater, gone.
Okay, so Sam Darnold, welcome to your week one start.
That's fascinating. Oh, because Teddy Bridgewater now will not play football for the next 5 years.
We step away from our phones for 1 hour.
Yep,
this is what happens.
Exactly. Let's quickly go to Landon. And where are you calling from, Landon?
I'm actually on the road right now, but I'm from Plattsburgh, New York.
Oh, it says Pottsburgh, which I'd never heard of. Plattsburgh. All right, you go ahead. You got about a minute here, buddy.
I'm calling about Gary Sanchez. Like, everyone's so excited for him, but what has he really done for him this season? He's just been struggling hitting and just punch a pass balls and everything. I just want to know what you guys really think about him.
I have this feeling that Gary Sanchez is going to come back and have this one big at-bat in this one big spot and win a really important game and kind of redeem himself for the first part of the year. I don't know. That's my premonition. If it comes true, I'm playing the lottery for the rest of the year. But he has that ability to be a big player in a big spot when they need it.
I don't know. I think his defense is a little shaky, Susan.
Nice.
Well done.
Thank you very much. All right, we're out of time here. Hey, thank you, Landon. I don't know. Gary Sanchez, is he a Yankee next year? No.
That depends on who's available in free agency.
All right. Well, this was fun, and I really appreciate you coming all the way from the Berkshires, Howard Herman, and we appreciate it. You got football to cover coming up, huh?
Got football. Tomorrow night I'm covering a UConn football game.
Sweet.
And Saturday, UMass plays at Boston College in a big New England rivalry.
Living the life. Brittany Devane, what's up for you?
We have the fifth quarter beginning this Friday night. It's our big high school football highlight show.
Ooh.
We love doing it. It's the best time of year. So tune in on Friday night and every Friday night in the fall, 10:30 on CW15 and 11 o'clock on Channel 6.
Thank you both for being here. Support comes from George Propane, Goshen, Massachusetts. Family owned and operated for over 75 years, serving Western Massachusetts with propane and full service heating and plumbing installation, services and deliveries. GeorgePropane.com. Nine Pin Cider Works, Albany, featuring hard cider made from local apples, now serving pizza, light fare, beer, wine, and spirits in tasting room, open Tuesday through Sunday, ninepincider.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, working on land protection projects that safeguard the water quality of Lake George, hiking maps, public events, and more at lglc.org. And George Heigel Antiques, Ballston Spa, New York, offering estate sale services, including management, appraisals, and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. Thanks again to Brittany Devane and Howard Herman for being here. Thanks to you for some great calls and just for plain old listening. Thanks to our engineer, Jordan Taylor. We had Dina Salzman answering the phones today. Tomorrow, the Gardeners return. Stand by now for news.